This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. A recent report from the Washington, D.C.-based Corporation for National and Community Service ranks Wisconsin third in the country for the number of residents who volunteered in 2014. More than 1.5 million people, over 35% of Wisconsinites, contributed to $3.4 billion of service last year. Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis talked about this report and the impact volunteering has on our region with Lynetta Koop, Executive Director of the Cooley Region RSVP program. RSVP links volunteers who are 55 years and older with a wide range of volunteer opportunities in La Crosse and Monroe counties. And Koop talked about what the high number of volunteers in Wisconsin says about its residents.
That shows what a great state that we have here, the people in our state here in Wisconsin. We are very giving and very helping in our communities throughout the area. And so that just basically just solidifies what those of us who are in the business know, that in Wisconsin, if you ask, they will do it. And most of the time, you don't even have to ask. They will come to you and say, you know, I want to help. I want to help. What is it that I can do? Whether it is, you know, just helping someone out on one individual item or long-term doing things to help out people. It's just indicative of Wisconsinites, and it's what we do. And it's very indicative, really, of the Cooley region area as well.
Could you talk a little bit about the RSVP program?
Yes, the RSVP, which is the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, and we have been in the La Crosse area. Now, we're both in La Crosse and Monroe counties, and we've been here. We're going on our 43rd year, so next year we'll be here 44 years that we have been in Wisconsin. And we have volunteers that are volunteer programs and services throughout La Crosse and Monroe counties. We have a little over 555 volunteers that are busy at any given time doing something in the communities that we serve. But we also have a list of about 1,200 volunteers. And what I like to for people to understand about RSVP is that most people think that you have to be retired to be a part of our program. Well, that's a misnomer. All we ask is that you be at least 55 years of age or better and willing to give, you know, some of your time to assist those in need in our community.
I wanted to talk a little bit about what it takes to run a volunteer organization, because I'm sure it takes money.
It takes money.
What is the funding source like for RSVP?
RSVP is state and federally funded, and I used to tell everybody that we used to be about 80% state and federally funded and about 20% local funding. Well, that has now changed. We're about 20% state and federal funding, and the other 80% is done via fundraisers and gifts from individuals who believe in our program and grants that I write to run our program. We are really a small, you know, small program. We have three staff members, myself included, that run our programs that we have.
The study was done by the Corporation for National and Community Service. How is RSVP related to that?
We are the big kid on the block in the Corporation for National Community Service. I ask everyone, have you ever heard of AmeriCorps? And most people say, well, yeah, I've heard of AmeriCorps. Well, I say, well, we're the senior corps of AmeriCorps. We've been around for 50 years. The corporation has a program called the Senior Companion Program, the Foster Grandparent Program, RSVP program, and AmeriCorps is one of their programs, as well as NCCC is one of the programs as well. So we are one of the entities that started. It started in 1970, I may be a little off here, about 1970. Through that on the Older Americans Act and Serve America Act. So those were the program came through. And in about 1990, then the Clinton administration, the corporation was funded and founded and funded. And all those programs, RSVP, FGP, SCP. And everybody says, okay, what are all these acronyms? So it's SCP is a Senior Companion Program. FGP is the Foster Grandparent Program. And RSVP is the Retired and Senior Volunteer Program, and then there's the AmeriCorps program.
So it's kind of a program of the federal government. It is, but it isn't.
It is, but it isn't. We are a project. So what happens is that we are, locally, we are sponsored. The RSVP program is sponsored by a group of board of directors called the Friends of RSVP. And so that is who actually has the grant. So they write the grant to the federal government to be able to, one, be an RSVP program and receive federal funds to operate the program. But there are core things that we have to have as well. So we are governed by the requirements of the grant and work plans that we have to make sure that we are having volunteers in our key service areas.
The level of volunteerism, is it pretty steady in the RSVP program? Has been, you mentioned the 1,200 people a year. Has that been pretty steady?
It has been pretty steady. We grow each year. Our program continues to grow. Like I said, we have about 1,200 registered volunteers. But I like to make sure that that's qualified and quantified by saying at any given time, we have about 550-something volunteers that are volunteering on a regular basis and turning in those hours so that we know how many hours our volunteers are doing. For example, just this past year, 2014, we had 547 volunteers that did a little over 98,000 volunteer hours. And if you equate that to an average Wisconsin wage of $22.50, our volunteers gave back over $2.1 million to the community in community service that they have done. That's a big number. That's a big number when, you know, there are volunteers that are doing these things that may not otherwise get done without having volunteers to do it. Or, as I like to say, look at the cost savings that it has done for our community by having volunteers pitch in where needed.
And what does the average volunteer, how many hours do they work in a given year?
Well, they don't work. That's the thing. It's called volunteer.
Yes,
that's what I like everybody to know. That's the key word is volunteer. And I'll just do a quick segue on there. You know, a lot of people like to say, "Yeah, well, how long do I have to work?" And I say, "You don't have to work. It's volunteer. The key word is volunteer. You can do it as much as you like, or as little as you like." And what I like people to understand is that there are some areas, like, let's, for example, if you want to be a tutor or mentor in our school, we ask that you commit to at least 1 hour a week helping a student. But then, you know, you have a lot of baby boomers that don't want to be tied down to having to be somewhere every week at the same time. We have one-time events, too, that you might want to participate and do. And, you know, for example, we'll just take what's going on now. You got Rotary Lights. So maybe you just want to help down there one night. That's fine. You've done that. Or you want to, you know, there's an event going on at some place and we're part of that. We can get you connected with that and you can just do it one time. We have like a handyman program where, you know, I really like doing that, but I don't want to have to do it all the time. So we have one-time events that you can do, or long-term events as well.
I know it's not work, but you do measure the amount of time that people put in. Why is that so important to measure the amount of time people are putting in?
For the exact same reason that I'm here today is because Wisconsin ranks number 3 as far as volunteerism, and we're trying to get Wisconsin to be number 1. So it's important that the government sees how active our community is and what they're doing. And as I indicated earlier, if you take that, the amount of hours that our volunteer are doing, and multiply that by whatever state you live in, the average wage, you can see the difference that the volunteers are doing. This is stuff that would not ordinarily get done, you know, without volunteers. So that's why it's important that we measure the hours to show, look how we do in Wisconsin. Look at what we do, and not just in Wisconsin, but in Iowa and in Minnesota and in Idaho and in Utah and in California and in Michigan. You know, where it is, you know, those are the reasons why we measure it, because, you know, in order to show how effective we are, we have to be able to show the numbers. And that's why when you do volunteer with us, we do keep a record of each of, whether it's a half an hour or an hour, whatever time that you are volunteering, that's important time. That is really important time. That's you giving of yourself, you know, seeing here is what I can do to give back to the community, and this is what I want to do. And there are a lot of people, John, who will say, you know, oh, I don't need to. I said, well, you know, I just want to do this because I want to do that. And we said, yeah, I know you want to do it because you want to do that, but you are making a difference, and we want people to see how you're making a difference. And I'm really happy to be here today to talk about that, because as we've indicated, Wisconsin is number 3. We need to be number 1. And I'd like for people to start counting those hours and sharing those hours with us and others as to what you're doing, because I'm sure that Wisconsin probably is number one. We just don't like to go around tooting our horn, you know, like, oh yeah, I volunteered here, I did that. But I bet you if you really added up all the hours that our people here in Wisconsin, and in particularly in the Cooley region, what we do, you would be surprised the magnitude of the hours that volunteers put in, surely because they want to, not because they're required to do it anything. These are all, keyword, volunteer. These are not required hours. These are all people volunteering to make a difference in our community.
And these hours really don't take into account things like neighbors helping neighbors, you know, mowing their lawn or just checking on them, getting groceries for them. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. It does not include those hours. If we were to include all those hours, we'd blow it out of the ballpark.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm John Davis. We're talking about the issue of volunteering in light of a recent report that suggests Wisconsin residents are third in the nation in 2014 in the amount of people who volunteer. Our guest is the executive director of the Cooley Region RSVP, Lynetta Koop. RSVP links people over 55 with volunteer opportunities in La Crosse and Monroe counties. I did want to talk more in detail about some of the programs that RSVP has.
Some of those needs, John, range anywhere from driving individuals to where they need to go, be it personal or business appointments that they may have, tutoring and mentoring kids in our schools, doing one-time events. Some of the other things that we do, I will tell people, have you ever had your picture taken at the DMV to get your driver's license? Probably was an RSVP volunteer that took your picture. Have you ever been down to the county buildings and you've seen people sitting out in the air in the hallway there helping you along the way? Well, those are generally RSVP volunteers that are, you know, trying to help you and telling you which way to go in a nice way. If you've ever been to the symphony and someone has handed you your program, that probably was an RSVP volunteer. Tutoring and mentoring kids in our schools. We're in schools in both La Crosse and Monroe counties, in our elementary schools, middle schools, and even in some of our high schools where we are tutoring and mentoring kids.
Do you ever measure the impact these programs have? And I'm thinking specifically of mentoring or tutoring programs in the schools. What kind of impact they have?
Part of the Corporation for National Community Service is that we must measure. We have to do an impact study. So what we do is in our tutoring and mentoring as well as in our foster grandparent program, we ask where was the individual when they started? So we have to say that, you know, Grandma Lynetta tutored student John, and John, when he started working with him, was reading at this level. At mid-level, because of the assistance that John received from the foster grandparent, John is now able to read at this level. So we have to measure to make sure that it was an impact. It's not just going in and volunteering and just saying, oh yeah, we made a difference. We have to show that. We ask our teachers and everything that are with, and they're the ones that gives us the numbers and say, yeah, without John's help or without this person's help, so-and-so would not be at the grade level that they're at. We needed their assistance to help get them there.
What are you looking for in a volunteer?
A person willing to share their time. That's what we're looking for. You know, you don't need any special skills. You just have to have the special skill of wanting to make a difference. And basically, as I like to tell everybody, if there's something that it is that you want to do, give us a call and come and visit us, because I'm sure that we can find, we have over 90 different organizations that we partner with as far as providing volunteer services for them. And I like everybody to know that we are your one-stop shop. You know, a lot of times people say, oh, I don't know where to go to volunteer, or I never really got into that. So you come to us, and we can just sit down and talk to you, find what your interest is, and I can guarantee you that we can find a volunteer opportunity for you. Being your one-stop shop, you don't have to go around looking. And also, you know, we are the person that will handle everything for you. Also, another advantage, people say, well, why can't I just go to ABC Place and just volunteer? Well, you could just do that. But one of the advantages of being an RSVP volunteer or either a foster grandparent or a senior companion volunteer is that we offer what's called a secondary insurance for you. So if while you're volunteering or going to your volunteer place, something happens, let's say you stub your toe or something and you have to go to the hospital, your insurance, yes, kicks in first, but RSVP is a secondary insurance so that we don't want the individual out of anything because they were out volunteering. So we would be a secondary insurance. Plus, you get the opportunity to say you're part of a national organization that's providing volunteers throughout the nation. That's another advantage. And, you know, if there's a volunteer site that you're not really thrilled with, we can be the middleman. We can be the person that, you know, smooths it over for you and all that.
What makes a good volunteer, Lynetta?
Wow, that's an interesting question as to what makes a good volunteer. What, in my mind, what makes a good volunteer is a person that's committed to helping the organization in which they want to be a part of. A person, you don't have to have, like I said, any special skills. You just have to have the willingness to want to be, you know, to go out and help and do that. Not everybody is cut out to be a volunteer. I mean, so that's a great question, John. Not everybody can be a volunteer. There's some people who are so used to being the main person in charge that sometimes it's hard not to be that main person in charge and have to take orders from someone else and not do that. Sometimes that doesn't work. You have to be able to be open-minded and realize that, you know, things may not be the way that you thought they were going to be, but you know what? I'm here to make a difference. And that's what makes a good volunteer. Just plain and simple as that. Someone that wants to make a difference, that's open-minded and willing to give of their time. And then know when, you know, a lot of times sometimes they don't know that may not be the right place for them. And we can help them with that.
I'm sure part of your job, anyway, involves profiling, you know, your volunteers and the programs that you're helping. What helps you to retain volunteers on an annual basis?
Yeah, I'm not necessarily sure that the word profiling is the right word to use when it comes to volunteering. What we do is
accounting for.
When a person wants to volunteer with us, we do sit down and depending on what areas that the volunteer is going into. So let's say they're going to be with vulnerable populations, you know, so, you know, with elderly or with teaching or tutoring or mentoring kids, you know, we have to do background checks on individuals. So not just, you know, just because you say you want to come in, you want to volunteer, depending on the area in which you want to volunteer. And we do have to do a background check on you to make sure that, you know, we're placing you in the right spot or that you are a person that we do want to put in a spot. So that is something that we do have to do. So a lot of people say, well, how do you know, this person isn't, you know, somebody that's bad. And it says, you know, we do a background check based on the area in which they're going to be volunteering in.
What makes for a successful experience both for the program and for the volunteer?
You could say that the successful experience is the joy that the person gets out of doing it, but also the help that they give to the organization in which they are helping. That's what, you know, what makes it work for both sides, is that it works for the individual and it works for the organization. And depending on what they're doing, it works for the people or persons that are receiving the services of that volunteer.
Is there a science to volunteering these days, much like there's this, you know, fundraising has become so specialized and scientific now and trying to appeal to donors. Is the same thing happening in the volunteer community?
It is. It used to be where you could get, you know, people would come and volunteer and they'd want to do the same thing over and over and over again. But now, I think I alluded to it earlier, is that we have a lot of baby boomers now that don't want to be tied down to one particular thing. So finding things that matter, that's going to be a major impact. And that's what I'm finding now is people want to volunteer in areas that are going to be a major impact, that's going to make a big difference. You know, that here's what I want to do. I want to go out and I want to work with Habitat for Humanity in building that house, or I want to go to the blood drive and get you know, help on that one day in doing that, or I want to go to one of our organizations, the Hillview Urban Agriculture Center, and I want to teach the kids there how to make a healthy meal. I want to see what I'm doing is making an impact. I don't just want to volunteer to say I'm volunteering. I want to say that I volunteered and I helped build that house, or I helped that kid, you know, make it to the next grade level, or I helped get that person. I want to volunteer where it's going to make a difference. And that's what we're hearing right now. We're also seeing that, you know, our volunteers are not people that are older anymore. We're seeing that young 55. And that's what I tell everybody is that, you know, they hear the retired and senior volunteer program. Now I just say RSVP. And most people know in French that means please reply. And yes, it does. It please reply. And all you have to do is, like I said, you don't have to be retired. We are partnering with many organizations here. Logistics Health is one of our programs who are using us as a place where their volunteers can come and volunteer, and they will be able to use our organization as an organization in which they, you know, promote as a place to volunteer. So as long as you, you know, want to give some time, we're here.
Do you see an influx of volunteers this time of the year around the holidays and certainly in January with New Year's resolutions?
That's where we see pretty much a lot of our influx of volunteers will come right around January. But then again, in June, for some reason, you know, people will see that. Or, you know, I can't say that there's any one particular time that's the biggest time. But if I were to pick, it would say, you know, there's a little bit in January where people, you know, pretty much like exercise and have, you know, made their resolution. I'm going to go out and I'm going to be more involved in my community. And we will get a lot of phone calls then. But, you know, we do, I would say, an average, probably September is also another big time in which we receive a lot of volunteers as well. I think as people have retired, some have retired, and it's like, okay, now what am I going to do? And so what will happen is that we'll get people that will call and say, you know, I heard about your organization. I'd like to get busy, and we'll do that.
What does RSVP need the most?
We need people. We need people. We also need volunteers to come in and assist. There are so many areas that are out there that we need. And yes, this is the end of the year. We need dollars as well, because we can't do this without the support of the community. And our community has been just extremely, extremely supportive of our organization. And some of you may have heard one of our, you know, when you had asked earlier, John, how do we get our funding? One of the major things that we do is we have a fundraising program that we do here at our program. It's called Who Will Be Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, which is one of our largest fundraising events, and that's where we receive a lot of other things. So money, time, talent, and treasure is what RSVP needs.
Lynetta Koop is the executive director of the Cooley Region RSVP program. She spoke with Wisconsin Public Radio's John Davis about a recent study that ranked Wisconsin third in the nation for the number of volunteers in 2014, and about the work of the RSVP program. Coming up, we'll talk with leaders of local charitable organizations about what separates the generations when it comes to donating their time or money. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Hope Kerwin. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. You'll also find a link to the Volunteering and Civic Life in America study that we talked about today. Our site also has archives of other past editions of Newsmakers, and if you'd like to share comments or make suggestions for future shows, you'll find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives, and more, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.